but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Windsor the hold. Smith's kick. It's blocked. Houston tries to pick it up. Time expires. We go to overtime in Corvallis.
Why not?
Hand off to Hatcher. He needs the 15. He does not get it. Houston ball.
Goes again from 24.
And Houston in overtime comes away with the win.
ESPN broadcast, there you had it. Here's how it sounded on Beavers Radio.
The snap is a little high. The kick plays down, and the kick is up and good. And the Houston Cougars rally from down 14 in the fourth quarter and defeat the Beavers in overtime. 24-yard field goal. Houston goes to 4-0. The Beavers drop to 0-5. Final score in overtime. Houston 27, the Beavers 24.
There it is, Mike Parker. Sounding a little dejected, and understandably so. Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz, gonna bring the energy up. I get Parker. That's tough. That's tough for the fans. How is Beaver Nation doing, Angie?
Oh, they're, you know, the first couple days are always the toughest. They're pretty down, but they were hoping to see a coaching change at some level this weekend. Didn't see it, but the schedule gets hopefully a little easier, and hopefully the Beavs can get some rally around some wins, because there were some positives and some improvements this week.
Well, I think it was their best, dare I say, all-around performance, you know, aside from the field goal kicking. They should have won this game, but they don't win it. Better to have loved and lost or never loved again, or better to have been close and lost or get blown out. That's kind of the feeling that I have. Why isn't Trent Bray making a change here? He comes into his introductory news conference today, says there will be no changes. Why do you think he's not making a change?
Well, he says it's because of the players, and he wants, he's always looking at things through the lens of a player. I don't know, honestly. I hate calling for people's jobs. I think that's especially midseason. However, the body of work that we've seen from special teams has, it's lost the Fresno game, it lost this game, and has been instrumental in hurting the Beavers in the other three. So, I think that is one, too, that you could make a change and it wouldn't affect the players as much. I mean, a lot of teams don't even have a full-time special teams coordinator. So I think Beaver fans are just kind of out for something at this point. I mean, you have some that are ready to blow up the entire program. You have some that expect Ryan Gunderson and Jamie Christian to be fired. But I do think at some level making a change as a special teams coordinator would be warranted at this point.
Jamie Christian is the special teams coordinator. What do you know about him as a coach? And I look back and he's coached at other places that seem to have had success while he was there. What's different at Oregon State?
Yeah, I don't know. He's moved around a lot. So that always makes you kind of wonder as well. But some bad luck. I mean, and you can always point to, I know the first, after Fresno, I think Coach Bray said, well, players have to make the plays, which that to me harkened right back to the Gary Anderson kind of
yes.
thought process. But my feeling is when it's, mistakes happen, absolutely. But then when it's continual, that's when you need, as a coach, you need the coaches to kind of step up and be like, okay, what can I do different? You have people that want, Trent Bray. My feeling on the whole thing with Coach Bray is he's a first-time head coach. You have to give him some grace, right? Everybody makes bad coaching hires. Coach Smith made some questionable hires. He changed things. But where I think it gets tough is, and this is where I'm waiting to see what Trent does. This being the CEO is the toughest part of being a head coach. And every head coach, John, I know you've talked to head coaches over your career. Every head coach I've talked to said the worst part of their job is the personnel side of it, the hiring and firing of people, especially firing. They hate doing it. They become family with these guys. But that's that's where the good head coaches and the bad head coaches differentiate themselves. That the good head coaches have to make those tough decisions.
Angie Machado, Beaver Blitz, is our guest covering Oregon State. Look, the season and the schedule gets easier. How soon do they need a win to sort of change the momentum and start to change the narrative? Because there are winnable games on this schedule, particularly how they played against Houston and Fresno State. You know, this team probably should be 2-3.
Absolutely. And Cal was, you know, you could go back and argue Cal was some more self-inflicted wounds that could have maybe bounced that way too. So, yes, the schedule was not pretty and not good for Oregon State. I think the one piece that they needed a win like a month ago, John, but, you know, this week going on the road across the country is not going to be easy. But I think the one thing I take from this is the fact that the team doesn't seem to have given up, and Coach Bray has not lost the locker room, because I thought that could be really, that could easily go sideways, especially watching how they performed at Texas Tech. I worried about that. You know, there looked to be some infighting going on. There was some finger pointing. They regrouped, and Oregon, they played a really solid half against, you know, one of the top teams in the country on the road. And then Houston is a good team, and they dominated for all but the last 6 minutes. So, but it's about finishing. It's about that killer instinct. And so I do think there's hope, just for the sole fact that the locker room still seems to be fighting.
This, you know, this question about Trent Bray is a good one. And I think you point to, hey, the CEO part being the hardest part. You know, certainly I had my questions about Bray at the start of the year. I also know, gosh, this is an independent schedule. It is a very unusual season. You know, it's hard enough to take over a program. Then I compound it with, hey, they went to the state legislature and they asked for $10 million. They're going to go back to the state legislature and ask for $10 million. They got to be really careful about the optics of how they spend money. How much of this is on Bray in your mind? How much of this is circumstantial on your mind when you look at the 0-5 start?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think some of it's him learning. I think he did show this offseason he was willing to make some changes and you know, bring in Coach Akey and Coach Kreiner, some veteran coaches to kind of help some, you know, maybe some of his inexperience. That you can't say he doesn't have passion. You know, that sitting through that press conference after the loss on Friday night, you could feel his disappointment and his emotion. I think he's learning on the job. I mean, like any first-time head coach, and it's been unfortunate. There's talent on this team. You know, I see people talk about, this is the first time Oregon State's been 0-5 since 96. I was there in 96, and there's a lot more talent on this team than there was on the 96 Beaver team. So hopefully, you know, they can get things shorter up. Like I said, the biggest thing for me is that he hasn't lost the locker room. He's only lost one recruit, one commit, so that speaks volumes. Not to say that there might not be others, but they're all, you know, I always look at, are they still communicating with me when I reach out to the commits? Mm-hmm. And that's usually a pretty good sign, right? That they're still bought in, they're still engaged with Oregon State, and they're all responding back each week. They keep me posted on their season. So that's usually a pretty good indication that they still are bought into the coaching staff. I saw changes on offense. You know, they brought in Tyler Moreno as a tight end to help shore up, and we saw Cornell Hatcher, who had some, you know, some flashes and, you know, averaged 5.5 yards a carry. So I still think it's way too early to say Trent needs to go, but I see your point about optics and the legislature, and, you know, Beaver fans in the lodge at Blitz are, they're actually, it went from, okay, everybody needs to go to, it's really kind of harkened onto a, you know, Scott Barnes needs to go before Trent Bray goes. So
the frustration with the AD.
Yeah, frustration. And you talk optics, you know, the optics from Beaver fans is, here's Oregon State in a really bad situation with a brand new president who's never been a president before. Scott Barnes goes and gets himself a nice raise and extension. The optics of that look horrible, and now he's making twice what any of his new Pac-12 peers are making. That's, you know, optics-wise, Beaver fans aren't happy with that.
You got to win. He's also painted himself into a corner in men's basketball with Wayne Tinkle's contract, and so... certainly Barnes deserves some criticism there. They've got to find a way out of it. They get Appalachian State this week. Malik Murphy's hand has become a question. Is he going to be able to go, in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Bray said today he did not go yesterday. Today has been a question. You know, he hasn't gone today yet, so they're hoping to have him full speed Wednesday. That is a concern. I mean, not that he needs a lot of time. I mean, he knows the system, he knows, but depending on what that injury is it just a bruise? Although, you know what, a bruised hand on your throwing hand could be detrimental. So, you know, they said Jabari Johnson would be next up, and then there's a battle for third, you know, who would be the next one up, whether that's true freshman Tristan Tia or Cal Guttridge. So, yeah, it's never easy sledding right now with Oregon State, but hopefully Malik is able to go and, you know, we see improvement continue with him.
If the recruits are still engaged, if the fans are frustrated, if, you know, obviously fans want wins, if the gift giving is threatened, you start to think about changes or what could be done. But Bray sticking with his guys to this point. Angie, is there a point, oh, and what, do you start to wonder about they've got to do something?
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought it was 0-5 and the way they lost, right? Those two blocked field goals, I thought that was super telling, especially when you saw how it happened. I don't know if you saw the last field goal that was blocked, but
yeah,
Houston was lined up three wide, you know, Oregon State didn't have a blocker for. So bad. It's just bad ways of losing. And that's, you know, it's if you're Scott Barnes or you're at Oregon State, the worry then is you're already losing. I mean, the fan support on Friday night was horrible. The students, hats off, students showed up. They were, and from a TV perspective, my son was watching and said, "Mom, it looks great." But looking around the stadium, it was empty. So you start losing fan support. You start losing donor support. I mean, it's just a big snowball effect, right? So they need a win. And, you know, if they could, App State's not going to be an easy one either, going, like I said, across the country. But I think they've shown fight. If they can continue to get better, come out there, then come home to Wake Forest. But, like I said, the psyche, I have to think, with this team is pretty on edge right now.
Yeah, Angie, I thank you for capturing it. Good stuff from you. Beaverblitz.com if you want to see Angie's great work and coverage of the team. Angie, I appreciate you making time. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much, John.
All right, next up, we're going to Jake Trotter, ESPN.com. He'll talk Penn State, Oregon. He was there in the press box. I talked to him before the game. Trotter coming up next.